But let's get into hockey talk on the Harbor One Hotline to talk about, the best team in hockey, the Boston Bruins. And that'd be our friend Andrew Raycroft of WEEI and NESN. Razor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. What an opening. I saw two cars almost swerve off the road listening. I know they were listening.
You know what I really want? The next time you do come in, I want you to sing the hockey talk line. I want your voice to be on the open. We've got plenty of time to do it. Listen, this team is so good, I feel like they're boring.
Yep.
Am I right on that? They're so good, they're boring, which is so stupid, but I feel like it's got some truth to it.
It does, and it's even more so than last year. Like, last year, it got to that point as well. It's like every night they win, every night they're great, but it was historic, and you could kind of tie into that. And now after what happened last season, the playoffs, and then how this has started, it's extra boring because they're so good. The goalies are amazing every night. The defense, like the whatever it is, they find a way to win. And now we're like, okay, now let's just wait till April in the playoffs. Like that's where we're at with this group. It is really amazing. They're so good, and they just destroy teams like Buffalo and all. Like it wasn't even close the other night.
So Razor, let's get to Jim Montgomery then, because last year it was an amazing record, and I'm sure a lot of just average fans chalked it up to, well, Bergeron came back and you had Krejci, and it was kind of the last ride feel. So, you know, was Monty really just a passenger in that whole thing? Now it's kind of his team. He is coaching this group. Are you noticing anything different from Jim Montgomery year to year, Razor?
It is certainly a different group, and it's a younger group. There's the Patras, the Beechers, the Lowry for the last couple of weeks. Those young guys playing really instrumental roles, and the coach has had to or taken the initiative to lean into them a little bit more, it seems like. Of course, the skate, there was a lot made of the skate this week, and another hard skate Wednesday from all reports. I think that's just as much part of the season, and it's okay to skate as anything else. I don't think it was a direct shot at their play. I mean, they're 12-1-2. But I do think that after last season, and there was a lot of, okay, these guys can figure every situation out, and then the playoffs came and they didn't. So I think this year the coaching staff has a little bit more of a thumb on things. I think they're going to try and create more adversity through the regular season, whether they're winning every game or not, just to be extra prepared come April.
So it was like Montgomery, you know, basically quoting the great song by the Braxtons of who is the boss. And like, that's Montgomery saying, I am the boss.
He's 77-13-7 as the Bruins coach. He should be singing badly like you for you.
There is, so I want to go back to it's called a bag skate, right? Do I have that correctly? A bag skate.
That is correct. Yes, okay. That is correct.
So
yes,
two questions involving the bag skate. So they play Saturday against Montreal on the road. Great town to go party, have some fun. Well,
yes, it is.
Okay, that's so true. I'm curious, did they wake up hungover, lazy, slow, not motivated, and Montgomery could kind of smell it, right? Because if you're sweating it, you're kind of coming out of your pores. And was this his way of, like, punishing them? Because I've seen coaches do this before also. Like, hey, listen, you want to party on my dime? You're going to pay for it.
Yeah, the league's changed a lot. The kids are drinking protein shakes all the time and eating salad. There was definitely times when I played that we would go to Montreal and you might not feel 100% in the morning. You play a little guilty. It doesn't happen nearly as much as it does now. I don't think so. I can't imagine that they did that on a random one-off. I don't think that's the reasoning. I think, you know, I think they're not always going to get up for every. They're 12-1-2, and Montreal kind of snuck up on them in the third period. But I don't think it was a playing guilty situation why they skated and had a bag skate. And also too, like, a bag skate for me, or what it was when I was playing or when I was younger, was no pucks on the ice. You guys are skating for an hour and a half. That wasn't the case either. They did a little bit of a skate at the end of practice, conditioning skate. So it wasn't as egregious as not putting pucks out on the ice either.
So as a goalie, do you guys feel guilty that like you don't have to skate, or do you have to skate?
No, we had to skate, but you can definitely the only thing you do as a goalie in a back skate is don't get in the way. So you and your partner, you basically go the same pace, the same speed. Don't put your Superman cape on and embarrass the other goalie. Go at the same pace and just stay out of the way. Get along the board. Don't run into anybody. No one cares what you're
Why
doing.
Why don't they just let you take all that gear off? Like, if you were to take all your gear off, could you keep up with the other real hockey players?
Was that? Yeah, the other real hockey guy.
Oh, man.
What?
Nice try. Listen to you.
That would be like Belichick. Razor, that'd be like Belichick doing conditioning and saying, hey, guys, take all your pads off to run around. No, you're
I do think it, yeah. I was curious when I saw the Razor. I was kind of like curious about, like, does the coach say, hey, like kickers? The kickers would run with us, but you know, it was like, yeah, whatever. They're not really tired, you know. So I'm curious, like, if the goalies had to act more tired, so they feel like they're part of the team too.
And you comparing goalies to kickers again?
That
it's
is
the
exactly
thing in the world.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's
listen, the team. I have to pick on the goalies because the team is so good. They're boring. This is the state that we're at right now. Hey, what are they doing in Montreal? What are the goalies doing their days off? Like, listen, if you go to Montreal in an away game, would they spend the night? Would they leave right away because the coaches know that's a bad place for them to be and he wants to get them out of town and he also can't give them a curfew? He can't give them a curfew on an away game, especially if you have a gap between your next game, which is like 2 days later.
Yeah, no, that if the coaches decide to allow you to do that, you know, it's a flashing green light and you can basically, you know, just stay out of jail, essentially. but no, they got out of there. They got out of there from Montreal. They came home. They didn't wait to go to Buffalo. No, so that wasn't the case. But when you do get those opportunities, everyone, it's unwritten. You know what you can get away with then.
Andrew Raycroft with us talking Bruins hockey with Gretchen Fourier. Is there like a guy in Canada that if you did end up in the Hooskow that you could kind of call that would be able to help you out? Like, is there almost like a guy, I don't want to say like Dog the Bounty Hunter, even though that guy's like a bail bondsman, but like, is there a guy?
There's got to be
some Canadian guy who can be like, hey, listen, I can help you get out of the pokey and keep it away from your team. You don't have to reveal if there is someone, you don't have to reveal their identity. Just let us know that there is someone like that.
Well, of course, there's probably a couple of those kind of people in each town in Canada. But like, it goes one way or the other, of course. Everyone would know if you are, you know, if you ended up at the police station at 2:30 in the morning in Montreal, they would know exactly who you were and why you were there and how you ended up there. And it would basically go one of two ways. It either ends up in the papers and everyone knows about it, or more likely than not, if you're a Montreal Canadian, especially, they find a way to get you home quietly.
Ah, I got it. So there you go. It's the whole home team thing.
It's the whole system.
There it is. All right. I do have a real hockey question point.
Those are all real.
Oh,
this
okay.
is all legitimate
oh, yeah.
stuff.
Yes. Comparing kickers and goalies is
listen, it's this. I tease because I love.
Oh, that's what it is.
He knows. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, this it's a Jock itch thing going
yes,
on.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, Razor, what should the Bruins do with Mason Lerai once Grizzlick returns?
Ooh, he can go to the minors. That's fine. He can go to the minors. And listen, they're in a great place with him because he can go up and down. There's no waivers. He can ride the train, right? He can take the commuter train back and forth, and get him as much playing time. So he's got to play. He's got to play as much as he possibly can. There's nothing saying that he can't go to Providence and play five games and then come back up. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be things to change. So do I think that it's locked in that he's going to be here the rest of the season and that's good for him? I don't think that's the case. I think you can do both. And it's not a demotion for a kid like that. But he's a National Hockey League player, and he's going to be really closely or really soon. They're just in a luxury position where the team's great. They have a bunch of depth on the back end. And until moves get made or rosters get made, he's the guy that can go up and down and really benefit from that. There's lots of guys in the history of the NHL that have done that, and it makes them better players in the long run. So If he does play in the minors, it doesn't mean he's not an NHL player.
All right, so we're talking to Andrew Raycroft, and it's Hockey Talk. It's not Bruin Talk. That's somebody's podcast, I'm sure. This is Hockey Talk, so we cover everything hockey-related. And I'm curious, more of a delicate topic, I guess, is, you know, this guy that was arrested over in London for, was it Adam Johnson, whose neck was cut by a skate during a game. So the guy, and I don't know his name, because I can't find it anywhere. I know I feel like they've released his name.
Well, I think a Syracuse newspaper confirmed that it was the guy whose skate it was. That name escapes me, but yeah.
Is it Matt Petgrave?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So have you been following, and this... Listen, I feel like this is I guess intent has something to do with it. So how do you go about charging a guy a situation like this? I you would have to have someone, some sort of intent.
Yeah, how does
involved.
A pro hockey player sort of look at all of this? Yeah. Because to a trained eye, it might
was it
look,
an accident? Was he reckless?
Look different than maybe what we would think.
It's so sad, right? Like
absolutely.
The saddest thing in the world. It affects hockey people probably a lot. Like I've tried to avoid the video as much as I can, and I somehow stumbled into like the 3-second clip, right? Like as it happened. And before I saw the video, I went to the rink with my kids, and I was sick to my stomach thinking about how this could happen. Okay. Then I saw the video, and I felt a little bit differently, because I was under the assumption that the skate, Adam Johnson, unfortunately had his head lower. He was in the corner. Someone slid into him, more of a hockey play. This looked less of a hockey play to me, something that, and I'm never going to question intent. I don't want to stir the... But it didn't look like a normal play, the way that leg came up. But how do they know? I don't know. I don't understand the law of it. I don't understand how they can charge someone when you're playing. And I feel bad for everybody involved. But it's certainly, I'm trying to say is when I heard it, I didn't want to watch the video because I thought the video was going to be much more of a hockey play than it actually was.
Mm. Well, because if you go back in history, you go just two examples, two NHL players charged with a crime in Canada. I'm sure you know Marty McSorley and Todd Pertuzzi, one in 2000, the other one in 2004.
And those are stick-related
incidents. It was more like, so one, McSorley was a two-handed slash to the head of Donald Brashear. He was sentenced to 18 months probation. Then in Pertuzzi in 2004, he pleaded guilty to assault for grabbing a Steve Moore from behind and then sucker punched him, and then Bertuzzi agreed to a plea deal.
Those
are a little bit more easier, I guess.
They are. And if I could jump in, Razor, you mentioned like a natural hockey play. If I remember correctly, when it happened to Clint Malarchuk in the crease where his throat got cut, and if it wasn't for a trainer, the guy would be dead. I mean, like, sick. Yeah. But that was a natural hockey play, I think, right? Somebody got hit, and then, like, a skate came up, and it sort of clipped him, whereas this, it almost looked like a pro wrestling super kick in a way where the guy got his skate up there.
Exactly. And Richard Zednik, it happened to him in Buffalo as well.
That's right.
Probably not as serious as Malarchuk, but very close. Like, they did a lot to save him, the trainers and everyone involved. And it was somebody, you know, he was skating through while somebody was getting hit. And it was like a backwards. This one was like more of a forwards kick. Again, you never know the intent. You don't know what he was just trying to get a piece of him, if he was trying to trip him, like, all of those things. And that's the one thing is proving the intent. And that was the big thing with those other cases that you just talked about, McSorley and Bertuzzi. There was a lot of, there was premeditation in that this happened during the game and this guy was trying to get him back. And that's what I don't know. Were these two guys in a fight earlier in the season, earlier in the game? Did they not like each other? Like, that's where all that the case would have to be put in place. Like, maybe there's more to it that no one knows about, and that's where the police came up with this. But in the other cases that were brought to law, like you talked about, Moore hit somebody earlier in the game. They were trying to get retaliation on him, and that's what happened. Same thing with McSorley and Brashear. So it, the intent's the important part of the law part of it, because hockey and pro sports, things happen, and things do cross the line. But if there's intent, I suppose the law can get involved.
Okay, last thing for our guy, Andrew Raycroft. A texter has sent in this. I did not vet it. I don't watch this stuff. However, they want to know if you are watching a what is being termed a hysterical hockey series on Hulu called Shorzy. I hope I'm not getting trolled on this.
No, you're good. You're good. Fortunately, you're not. There is a Canadian. So it's actually, I played junior in this town way up north. Sudbury, Ontario, the nickel capital of the world, and they do this. It's like a sitcom-type hockey show. I have not watched it. I don't have Hulu. I don't stream Hulu, but I guess it is priceless, and it's very Canadiana, and you guys would probably think it's hysterical because it's like Strange Brew hockey.
Oh, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Can I assume Sudbury, Ontario does not have the same kind of wealth and house structure as Sudbury, Massachusetts?
Yes, you can absolutely assume that it's a different way of living in Sudbury, Ontario than it is in Sudbury, Mass.
Razor, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Always a ton of fun talking about the boring Bruins.
Oh, I guess we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, though, because well, actually, are you celebrating Thanksgiving? Because Canada's Thanksgiving was like a month ago, right?
So it was. But no, I'm an American citizen, and my favorite holiday of all time is Thanksgiving. That's the best part of being American now is Thanksgiving. So, yes, I will be celebrating down in Wrentham and looking forward to that. So, you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy.
Bye,
appreciate
buddy. We'll
your
talk
time.
To you. There goes our guy, Andrew Razor Raycroft, with us on the Harbor One Hotline.